This is Deborah Beck, professor of ancient Greek literature in the Department of Classics at the University of Texas at Austin. My students and I are excited to welcome you to our podcast, Musings in Greek Literature.
Welcome. My name is Rachel Pritchett, and this is episode 6 of Greek 365's Musings on the Iliad, a podcast series created by the students of an advanced Greek seminar at the University of Texas at Austin. In each episode, we discuss what we taught and learned from our peers while acting as teacher of the day for a segment of the Iliad. I will be focusing on Book 24, lines 507 to 598. After providing some general context, I will discuss the three speeches of Achilles that appear in this section, each of which reveal important insights into the character's worldview, emotions, and sympathies. Book 24 is primarily concerned with the return of Hector's body. At the beginning of the book, Achilles is still regularly dragging the body of his defeated enemy around the grave of Patroclus, his beloved companion who Hector killed. This poor treatment of Hector's corpse outrages all the gods except for Hera, Athena, and Poseidon, who all hate the Trojans. The rest of the gods want to send Hermes to steal Hector's body back, but these three won't stand for it. Additionally, Zeus says that they cannot steal the body themselves because Achilles' mother, the goddess Thetis, to whom Zeus is indebted, is always nearby. Therefore, the gods decide to send Thetis to convince Achilles to return the body, and he agrees to release the body to anyone who brings a ransom for it. This sets the scene for my passage on Achilles' part. Meanwhile, the goddess Iris goes to tell Priam that he should go into the Greek camp with a ransom to fetch back the body, and that Hermes will escort them. Although Priam's wife Hecuba is against the idea, Priam is determined to go and loads up a cart with an opulent ransom. Before he leaves, Hecuba convinces him to pour a libation and ask for a sign. Zeus sends an eagle to confirm that Priam will be able to return safely, and so the old king sets out for the Greek camp. Hermes meets him along the way and helps him sneak into the camp unseen. When Priam arrives in Achilles' tent, Achilles and his men are amazed at his bravery. Priam then gives a heart-rending speech, entreating Achilles to return Hector's body. He reminds Achilles of his own aged father, talks about his misery, and ends with how Achilles can help him. One of my classmates discusses this speech in episode 5 of this podcast series. This speech sets the scene for my passage, lines 507 to 598, in which Achilles responds to Priam. The scene begins with the two weeping together over their sorrows and the loved ones they have lost. Then, Achilles gives the first of three speeches in this passage, which mirrors Priam's previous speech about his own grief. After saying that they should both put their sorrows aside as much as possible, Achilles follows the same outline as Priam. First, he talks about his own father Peleus, dying without his son in a faraway land. Then, he empathizes with Priam's misery, discussing Priam's former glory and the many sons he has lost in battle. Finally, he mentions his own role, saying that the gods brought him and the Greeks as a pain to Priam. This mirroring emphasizes a shared perspective about the tragedies of war between Priam and Achilles, even though the two are enemies. I would like to back up a little bit to the beginning of this speech, before Achilles begins to talk about his father, Peleus. In lines 524 to 533, he says, according to my own loose translation, "There is no point in chilling mourning, For so the gods spun life for unfortunate mortals, to live with mourning. But for them, there is life without care. For two pithoi lie in the threshold of Zeus, from which he gives gifts, one of evil and the other of good. Whenever thunder-delighting Zeus, having mixed them, bestows them on man, that man comes sometimes upon evil, and at other times good. But when he gives from the jar of sorrow, he makes the man abused, and evil, great hunger, drives him around the divine earth, and he wanders, being respected neither by gods nor by mortals. This is a bit of a strange passage, because Achilles takes a break in their discussion of sorrows to talk about his worldview and the origins of good and evil. The passage brings up a lot of questions. First, it is not actually entirely clear how many pithoi Zeus has because of ambiguity in the text. There could be two of evil and one of good, or only one of each. This question was argued by the ancient Greeks themselves. Pindar believed that there were two evil and one good, which made sense to him, since more evil than good is bestowed on men. Aristarchus, on the other hand, argued that there were only two pithoi. Modern scholars continue the debate. I'm of the opinion that there are only two pithoi, since this seems to be the simplest reading of the text and seems like the most logical way to describe the good and evil dichotomy. When I discussed this question with my classmates, without offering my own opinion first, the predominant view was that there is only one of each pithoi. This also brought up a great conversation on the difference between gods and mortals. Achilles says that the gods live life without care, implying that they only receive lots from the jar of good. On the other hand, he says that humans receive gifts from both jars, and even that some mortals only receive gifts from the jar of evil. According to this worldview, all mortals must suffer at least some pain, while the gods cannot suffer any. In class, it was pointed out that this seems like a strange opinion for Achilles to have, since he has encountered gods in pain and acknowledged the pain of his own goddess mother. This could have multiple explanations. Perhaps the cares of the gods are different kinds than the one Achilles is talking about, or perhaps he is just being extra dramatic. We didn't settle on one answer to this, so if you have an idea, leave it in the comments. Another interesting thing to consider about the pithoi image is whether Achilles is making up a scenario to describe how he feels about good and evil, or whether he is describing how good and evil are literally distributed according to the worldview of early Greek religion. We discussed this as a class, and several factors indicate that in the world of the Iliad, good and evil really are distributed from jars. First, we can draw a comparison between these jars and Zeus's scales, which he uses to weigh the fates of mortals. Zeus uses these scales twice, in the Iliad, once to decide the outcome of a battle between the Trojans and Achaeans, and once to decide the fates of Hector and Achilles during their individual combat. Both times, the use of these scales is described as fact by the narrator. If Zeus weighs the fates of mortals with scales, it is no stretch of the imagination to think that he could also dole out good and evil from jars. To consider broader implications about Greek religion of the time, we can also draw a comparison with Hesiod, whose story of Pandora also depicts evil as being distributed into the world from a container of evils. The similarity of these ideas suggests that this was a common depiction of evil in early Greek religion. Let's move on to the rest of the passage. After Achilles finishes talking, Priam begs him again to return Hector's body. This time, Achilles gets angry and warns Priam not to bother him about it anymore, but says he will probably give back the body. He also reveals that he knows Priam has divine help, since no mortal could have gotten through the camp and into his tent alone, and since his mother Thetis has already visited him about the matter. Finally, he indicates that he knows the gods want him to give back the body, saying that he does not want to sin against the commands of Zeus. Then, he and his men unload Priam's wagon of the ransom brought for Hector, and they wrap up the body and place it in the wagon. Lastly, Achilles apologizes to Patroclus for giving back the body, saying, "Patroclus, do not be angry with me if you learn, even being in the house of Hades, that I released divine Hector to his beloved father, since the ransom he gave to me is not shameful, and I will portion out to you as much as is fitting." I thought this small speech was especially interesting because we had previously wondered in class whether or not Patroclus was aware of the despoiling of Hector's body, which Achilles was supposedly carrying out for his sake. According to his words here, it seems that Achilles also doesn't know whether Patroclus can tell what is happening in the living world, but he apologizes to him nevertheless for giving back the body. When we talked about this in class, some students mentioned that having the ransom as grave goods is probably much better for the dead Patroclus than having Hector's body despoiled. Unfortunately, we never find out what happened to this ransom. Overall, I found the experience of acting as teacher for the day to be very enlightening. It helped me think about the text in a way I hadn't before, because as I read it, I was anticipating questions others would have and interesting points that would be good to discuss. It helped me think about studying Homer in a much more collaborative way, where bouncing ideas back and forth can be more important than trying to find a correct answer that might not exist. This is an important part of what the study of classics should be, so I'm glad I got a chance to think about it as teacher of the day. I hope this podcast has been an enlightening experience for you as well. Again, my name is Rachel Pritchett, and this has been an episode of Greek 365's Musings on the Iliad. Thanks for listening, and feel free to leave a comment.